Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me on this Labor Day 2007. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you in our 10th consecutive Labor Day show, live and in person. Many of our Labor Day shows have been conducted with our good friend who's with us right now, Dr. Bert Folsom. Burton Folsom is the author of The Myth of the Rubber Barons and Empire Builders, and a new book coming out real soon. Many of you saw his article, in the Wall Street Journal this last week about comparing the Mexico's richest man, maybe one of the richest men in the world, or he certainly is one of the richest men in the world, Carlos Slim, comparing him to some people compare him incorrectly to the some of the people who were called robber barons of the 19th century. And Bert's always a great resource for us. He's an outstanding historian and a professor of history at Hillsdale College in Michigan. He's our good friend, Bert Folsom. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, Bert. You know all about my idea for a national day to celebrate small business owners, and you've heard me speak of it many times before.
Yeah.
And isn't it telling, Bert, about our where we place our emphasis? Isn't it telling that we've long had a paid federal holiday for workers, but we have never had a day just a day set aside by the government to recognize those who actually write the checks to make those, so those people can take a paid day off?
Right. Well, when I first heard you express that idea maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Jim, I was kind of startled by it. But since then, it just sounds so logical. It makes me wonder, number one, why we don't do it. But it almost makes me wonder why history took the path that it did. Because when Labor Day was founded in the 1880s, that was really where we really the time period we really began to recognize the tremendous mm-hmm. contribution that entrepreneurs had made to American history. Not that it wasn't sort of clear up to then, but it really became clear. I mean, our first billionaire in U.S. history, John D. Rockefeller, was at his peak in that decade.
Mm-hmm.
The price of oil had come from 26 cents a gallon, I mentioned that in the article, to 8 cents a gallon, which means the average person could light his home with kerosene for 1 cent per hour.
And he helped to create that kind of a drop in price through innovation and efficiencies, but at the same time that happened, as you pointed out, he was vilified, wasn't he?
Yes. A lot of people, they look at the wrong thing. It's kind of an optical illusion. It disturbs some people that someone could become a billionaire while other people have very little money. And they say human beings are not that different in their abilities, and their results, therefore, should not be that different. They don't look at the fact that he satisfied hundreds of millions of people and gave them something they wanted, that they paid to have.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Burton, but, you know, it wasn't like he was given $1 million to get started with, was he?
Right.
Tell us about his history.
Well, he had an unfortunate family situation. His father was a bigamist. He moved around. He was a quack medicine seller, and he moved around in New York and settled in Cleveland eventually. But his family had to be on the move because he was selling medicines, and then the medicines wouldn't work very well.
He's a snake oil salesman.
Exactly. And so they had to run around. And he ended up having two families, and John didn't see him all that much growing up because he was with his second family. His mother was a good influence on him, a strong Christian influence on him. And John did not grow up with much. He didn't have a college education.
He started with nothing.
Yes.
And became a billionaire in the 19th century, and for which people got mad at him. You know, Bert, There's a contemporary story I know about a man who is a wealthy man because he built a factory up and sold it and made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he bought a bunch of real estate. And he bought a bunch of raw real estate. Well, as it so happens, there was an opportunity for a big golf course to be built. And they liked where this guy's land was. Well, guess what this guy did? He gave the developer enough land for the golf course.
Okay.
Now, this was golf course is going to be good for the community. But some people said, oh, he just did that so he'll make money on selling lots around that golf course. And they said that to me, Bert, and I said, I hope he makes $1 billion. And they didn't understand it because the very idea he would actually get rich by helping other people, you know.
Right.
We got a problem in America, folks, when we look at things like that. 20 till, we'll be right back with our good friend, Dr. Bert Folsom. Stay with us. Can you tell me?
Across the vein of night, there cuts a path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight. At the border of total darkness, and the light's divinely bind, a slogan let its shadow stretch and land on.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bert Folsom. Dr. Bert Folsom, the author of Empire Builders and the Myths of the Robber Baron. By the way, my website, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you use that to your advantage, and I think it will help you with your small business, the one you have or the one you're planning. Also, check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Both of those sites are free. If you can get there, we'll let you in, let you hang out with us. Bert, I like to contemplate the market landscape, say, of the late 1900s. 1800s, I'm sorry, late 19th century.
Yes.
When Labor Day was begun, you had a few business owners, but millions of workers. And so you, basically what you had was, you had the big guys, the so-called robber barons, as they were called in those days. You call them empire builders. And you had those guys who were pretty much, you know, very visible. But you had millions and millions of workers, and pretty much the average American thought of themselves as a working man, so to speak. That was the term that still exists today.
Right.
But in the 21st century, Bert, we still have millions of workers, but where we're different today than we were in those days, we also have millions of owners.
Yes.
And so ownership and opportunity has been much more incrementalized and democratized in the 21st century than it was even in the early part of the 20th century, hasn't it been, Bert?
Well, it has, and the number of blue-collar workers, the so-called working class, has sharply declined as we've automated so many industries and we've moved into a more white-collar society, so that the idea of that you referred to a moment ago as these millions and millions of industrial workers, their percentage of the labor force has sharply declined, and therefore that says something about the way we once looked at labor and how different it is today.
And so when you think about that, and when you listen to some politicians these days, you would think that they were still living in 1894.
Yes,
wouldn't you?
Right.
Instead of 2007.
Right. It was the era of Grover Cleveland when Labor Day was started. And again, that was an era of the industrial worker, but that is not the case today.
Exactly. And the United States of America, the economy here, is significantly different, even than it was 20 years ago, Bert.
Right.
And it's evolving in a way that many politicians completely are missing. And Bert, what I'm concerned about is over the next year and a half, or less than 16 months or so, we're going to have politicians who are going to continue to talk to the American electorate as if this was 1930 or something.
Well,
and they're going to try to pass legislation that fits closer to 1930 conditions than 2007 conditions, aren't they?
Right. It is so. And even in the 1880s, when Labor Day was started, the industrial unions, the labor unions, were very small. There was a notion that there's nobody around to stand up for the worker. Let's give him a separate day.
Mm-hmm.
The worker has many people, many politicians, as you implied there, that are very solicitous of him. And yet small businessmen get taxed and don't get the recognition. So we're out of balance now.
Well, what do you think is going to be the state of our, what do you think is going to be happening over the next 4 or 5 or 10 years, Bert, with regard to public policy? You know, do you think we're going to be moving toward the things that make sense for our entrepreneurial economy, or do you think we're going to be in more of an aggressive state, you know, moving backwards?
Well, for a long time, I thought we'd be in a very positive state, and I still think there's a chance that that will be the case. In other words, one of the lessons we learned in the 1980s was the same lesson we learned in the 1920s, and that is that low tax rates bring entrepreneurs out of the woodwork. They create entrepreneurs.
Yep.
You create them when you tell them you get to keep overwhelmingly the majority of what you make. But I've heard calls recently, and the Bush tax cuts recently have done a very good job of helping the economy. I've heard talk recently, though, of raising that income tax back from a top rate of 35% to 60%. If you tell wealthy people that you're going to take 60% at the top marginal rate of what they make, I don't see how you can expect a future of entrepreneurship.
Here's the irony. Part of the irony of our current time that we live in, Bert, and that is that Europe, which has been a very socialistic, highly taxed, highly regulated marketplace, is doing everything that they can to go away from those things and move toward what we have.
Well,
and yet we have some politicians who seem to want to move us in the direction that Europe is trying to get away from.
Well, it's one of the rare moments. Maybe we need to start copying France a little bit more.
and incredibly, maybe even Russia.
Right.
Russia has a flat tax.
Well, England showed us the way. Remember, England had the top rate of 98% when Margaret Thatcher came.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting that I really do think that we've got some bellwether effect happening in Europe with Merkel and Sarkozy and some of the others over there that are more, you know, more realistic 21st century thinkers and apparently not the least bit socialistic. Stand by, Bert. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got more to come with our good friend Bert Folsom, Dr. Bert Folsom, the author of Empire Builders and The Myth of the Robber Barons, available wherever books are sold. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Bert Folsom. And Bert is a professor of history at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. And it's an interesting little school, Bert, because they take zero federal funds, right?
They take zero federal funds, Jim. That really sets us apart. And as of this year, we're going to take zero state funds.
Wow.
From the state of Michigan.
How about that?
And a lot of it is, first of all, it wasn't the intention of the founders. In the Constitution, there's nothing about giving federal aid to education.
Right.
The founders did not want the federal government to be involved in education. And part of that is because of the strings that are attached. And those colleges, and I've taught it, many that take federal aid end up being having tremendous accountability for that money they receive, and they have to have a whole separate bureaucracy. And on a cost-effect basis, it really is in some ways a loser.
Exactly. Bert, your books are available wherever books are sold. Is there any other place that you'd like to send us, any particular place?
No, that's fine. Myth of the Robber Barons goes into its fifth edition.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
New book? When's it coming out?
Oh, Jim, that new book I've got, I'm in the midst of negotiating with some publishers now, and I hope that will be out next year.
All right. Well, you be sure to. I expect to launch it on this show.
Okay.
By the
way,
you got a deal. You got a place to launch it. Okay, Bert. What do you think is going to? Let's talk about this next election cycle. Do you think that when politicians look at the marketplace, I'm convinced that on both sides of the aisles, Republicans and Democrats, that most politicians really still don't understand, not only, never mind where the economy is going, they don't even understand where it is today in terms of the value of free trade, the incredible importance of keeping taxes low. Some of them do, but many of them don't. What do you think?
Well, that seems to be true because many of them have never had to meet payroll. Back before the 17th Amendment, when we had direct election of senators, most senators especially, but even House members, did not serve long terms. They served briefly.
They weren't professional politicians, were they?
They weren't professional politicians. The era of the professional politician has evolved in the last 50 to 60 years, and
right.
So we have people, even our governor, who is a good governor of Michigan, John Engler, went into politics, went into the state legislature at age 21, and then was governor when he was about 50. He never served anywhere but in politics.
Yeah.
If you've never served anywhere but in politics, you don't have that feel for the way the marketplace works.
Well, the thing that I'm concerned about, and I'm gonna name a name here, ladies and gentlemen. John Edwards is the way he campaigns, and I'm going to use him because I'm certain he's not going to be nominated and therefore not elected. But if you look at his campaign, it's all about pitting one group against another, isn't it? It's always, he has this Two Americas thing, and he would have fit right in with the muckrakers who were vilifying the robber barons, wouldn't he, John? I mean, the bird.
Yeah, he would have. Right. There's an effort to really divide and conquer. Divide and conquer is a clever political strategy sometimes, but it's terrible for the nation.
Well, it is. But if you look at his campaign, the way he thinks of America, I get the feeling that every scenario he looks at, there's got to be a victim in there somewhere. And he wants to stand up for the victim. Well, you know what? There are many scenarios in the marketplace in the United States where there are no victims. Everyone wins.
Well, sometimes the entrepreneur is the victim.
That's right,
Jim, with his tax rates and regulations.
Mm-hmm. So, Bert, we got about a minute or so. What are your last thoughts on this Labor Day?
Well, what I think, Jim, is that if you could ever hook up with someone that could get your proposal launched, it would be good to have the nation just one day a year think of all the contributions that small businessmen make, and as we enter this era of the last generation, more and more of that consists of a large number of people who are not standing alone, but who are part of a group that has made a very strong difference in the American economy.
Absolutely, and of course, many millions of men and women, business owners, and hundreds of thousands of new ones every year, Bert. Hey, Bert, thanks for being here. Good job. It's always a pleasure to have you here. You're always welcome.
Hey, Jim, thanks. Good to be
with
you.
Thanks for being here. Good job. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, thanking you for all the work that you do, small business owners, and your employees. We thank you for your work. And congratulations on having a paid day off.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.